It was 20 years ago today. Untold stories from the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center. Today's episode, And Then the Kids Arrived. Following the resurrection of Jesus, that is, in the first Eastertide season, the church grew fairly rapidly with regular converts. Christianity was an underground movement, and the church remained underground until the 4th century. Very simply, the powers to be were not happy with the church and her growth. The growth of the first century church is documented in the book of the Acts of the Apostles and in the epistles which follows Acts in the biblical canon. A reading of the Gospels will make it clear that Jesus' popularity and following did not sit well with the established religious community of his time as well. Why else are we here during the Easter season? His deeds and teachings sentenced him a torturous and slow death on the cross, and the resurrection is the mark of the triumph of truth. Life won out over death, as love proved stronger than hatred. The purity and absolute truth of Jesus Christ was his calling card. This is why the disciples, one by one, left family and home to follow him. This is why the landscape of the Sermon on the Mount was packed with people, and why there was tens of thousands who needed to be fed in the loaves and fish story recorded in Matthew chapter 14. What we were doing with the Armenian Youth Ministry Center was an experiment. We were building on the faith and teachings of the church. Since the earliest days of my ministry as a deacon and as a priest, I never understood nor appreciated the bait-and-switch approach to ministry. We've heard it often. Come to church. We have great basketball courts. And then once you get there, what happens? And they say, surprise, we have Bible study for you. I cannot understand how this is supposed to promote goodwill between the youth and the church. Obviously, the kids that come want to play ball and sit through a Bible study if it means some time on the court. But what does that entire bait-and-switch operation really say about the church? Do we feel that our main product is so defective or so unappealing that we have to trick people into coming? Ideally, you want to bring people in on the basis of your faith, your main product, and afterwards celebrate with fellowship, whether with hoops, on a bowling alley, or at a picnic ground. The truth of the matter is that the YMCA or the local high school have better basketball courts than most churches. But there is no one who has a better understanding of Christianity and the articles of faith than the apostolic church, the body of Christ, the one that was there at the time of Christ. And that became the platform on which we built the Youth Ministry Center. Let's combat the evils that were before us, whether drugs, loneliness, violence, gangs, whatever they may be. Let's combat them with the love of Jesus Christ. And the kids started coming. After that first Easter, word got out that we were on the corner in Glendale. There was no magic to bringing kids in. We just left the doors open and curiosity did the rest. It was a quiet haven for those who wanted to get out of the after-school hustle-bustle. We had a church upstairs and a large multi-purpose room downstairs where many kids would come after school just to hang out, do their homework, or wait for their parent pickup. There was no covering it up that this was a church. In the sanctuary, Bibles were available for the taking. We'd talk about issues. Weekly Bible studies were attended by the kids and their parents. Sure, we had our social activities, but they weren't the reason for people to come. Rather, they were the places where fellowship took place because we were a community of faith That demanded a fellowship. That demanded a place where we could come and express our faith with one another. And then came April 24th. Only 10 days after our opening and 4 days after Easter. With all the positive energy we were putting out there for our ministry, the switch to mourning, sorrow, and victimization was not the turn I wanted to take. We had addressed these issues at my former parishes, but this was Glendale. We were in the largest concentration of Armenians outside of Armenia. If there is one thing Armenians all rally around, it's recognizing the atrocities committed by the Turks against the Armenian nation, culminating in the Armenian genocide. 1.5 million Armenians were murdered. And over that amount of people were exiled from their historic homeland. This was a very personal issue for me. My grandparents were survivors of the Armenian genocide. I grew up with stories of the genocide, heard firsthand. I resented people who turned on their Armenianness on April 24th and forgot about it on April 25th. Further, as a priest, I felt a hypocrisy in celebrating the victory of victories, the victory of life on Easter, and tossing the euphoria out the window days later to mourn a crucifixion. If we are the inheritors of the title First Christian Nation and First Genocide of the 20th Century, then we have to come up with a response that reflects both the resurrection and the horrors of genocide. We had done it in my previous parishes in Cupertino and Pasadena. Now Glendale was going to feel the power the gospel expressed. We continue tomorrow with more untold stories from the 20 Years Ago Today series. And I invite you to join us. If you've missed earlier episodes, you can listen to them all. You can binge on them on your favorite podcatcher or at epostle.net under the Armodoxy for Today tab. Remember to leave us a message, a comment, and or to write us at feedback@epostle.net. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Apostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe.